Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
boys. Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Constellation Kegger. TA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in Kentucky. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Louisiana to Lexington, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing today? Happy Target Demo Friday to you. We are broadcasting live from our affiliate in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to thank them so much for their hospitality. We'll be broadcasting here live today and then for Sunday morning football as well. I'm down here in the Bluegrass State this weekend because the Bourbon Belle graduated from UK and one of her best friends is getting married tomorrow. So we're down here and we are getting the full Bluegrass experience. We are staying on a horse farm, on a real horse farm. So I know that blows Mraz's mind right now, but I'm waking up. There's chickens crowing, roosters crowing behind us. There's horses grazing. There's big old birds, farm birds flying by. So I am in it. I'm in the thick of it. Bourbon country, which I just may dabble in this weekend. And so I'm thrilled to be down here. I just think it's such a beautiful place. Obviously, amazing sports fans. They love their college basketball like no other, but they also love plenty of other sports as well. So I appreciate being down here. The fine hospitality of our affiliate here in Lexington, Kentucky. So coming up this morning on the show, how about Charles Davis, who is going to join us here on the program? Charles Davis, Fox Sports Insider, Fox Sports NFL analyst, is going to drop on by. Charles Davis will be with us coming up at the start of hour number two. He's got the Cowboys against Washington this week. He's seen the NFC East already because he had Washington and Philadelphia last week. And so we'll talk to him about what he saw from the Eagles last week. Really slow start, but then blazing comeback. What to expect from the Cowboys this year, considering it was such an impressive start in week number one. CD, Charles Davis, coming up an hour from now. Also, we've got your tasty top five, my top five college football games of the weekend. We've got Mraz's football picks, his up-the-gut picks, and his football food of the week. And it's also a Target Demo Friday. So we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show, everybody. There's such wonderful ways to connect with us. If you want to let us know on Target Demo Friday what you're doing, where you're at, how you're listening, hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Also on our Facebook page, you'll see the meme, facebook.com/theDAshow. We must start with last night's Tampa Bay Buccaneers victory. Who would have seen this coming? How could it happen? The Buccaneers got smoked last week by the San Francisco 49ers. In week number one, Bruce Arians looked like no matter what he could possibly coach over the offseason to Jameis Winston, it fell on deaf ears. Winston made all of the mistakes that he had made throughout his NFL career. And even working through an entire offseason and training camp and preseason with one of the best quarterback gurus in the NFL, still Jameis Winston looked like a complete and utter disaster. The Panthers were coming off a loss of their own at home against the Rams, and so it all kind of shaped up for the Panthers to feel better, get healthy. They certainly have playoff aspirations. The Buccaneers really did not. And Cam Newton and company ready to beat up on a lesser team in the division and start feeling right again. And that didn't happen. Instead, last night, Cam Newton and that offense was putrid through the entire game. You had the Buccaneers making a few big plays here or there, but mostly the Bucs defense looking like one of the best units in the NFC. Throughout the night, the Bucs defense applied pressure on Cam Newton, hurried him into bad throws, completely bottled him up, and look what they did with Christian McCaffrey as well. The entire evening, even though the entire Panthers offense is built around getting McCaffrey in space, they consistently squeezed him. They consistently shut the door. But even after all of that, the Panthers had a chance on fourth and right knocking on the door of the Buccaneers with just a minute and a couple of seconds left. Get the first down or get the touchdown, and at least you survive with a win. And even though it wasn't going to be pretty, the Panthers are going to punch it right in here. Maul on the offensive line. Play that smash-mouth Ron Rivera offense that the Panthers have played for so long. Cam Newton was going to take the snap from under center, lean forward, get his half a yard, first down, or if he gets a little bit of a push, into the end zone, and the Panthers were going to walk out with a win. And in week two, a win is a win is a win, especially on a short work week. And instead of Cam Newton taking a snap and lunging forward, instead of Cam Newton using his huge frame to get the first down, instead of Cam Newton maybe diving over the offensive line and defensive line like Superman, like we've seen so many other times, what was that play call from North Turner? What was that? Cam split out wide, a direct snap to McCaffrey, a fake handoff to a wide receiver coming around. McCaffrey gets stopped and pushed out of bounds before the first down or the end zone. North Turner, what happened? Carolina Panthers, what happened? How is this what you think is the best way to win that football game? It is an unbelievable, indefensible, ridiculous play call with what was on the line and how you've done it in the past. And my only question right now is, when you look at Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, is that team scared to use their quarterback? It is where we begin your cold open.
From the 16-yard line, Winston hands the ball off, and Barber up the middle to the 10. 3, 2, 1. He's got a Tampa Bay touchdown. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Barber right up the gut, made a guy miss at the line, and takes it to the promised land. 16-yard touchdown, Scoot, and the Buccaneers retake the lead at 16-12.
You're not going to hear no type of reasons why tonight didn't go as planned. I have to be better. No matter what physical condition I'm in, no matter what foot, shoulder, I ain't get the job done tonight, man. And it's frustrating. I wish I could say something other than that, but, you know, that's the facts.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Well, look, I want to give Cam Newton the respect he deserves for how he handled the post-game press conference last night. And that call was from Tampa Bay Buccaneers voice, Gene Deckerhoff on Buccaneers Radio. We win, we win, we win. We stopped him on fourth down. I have dogged Cam in the past when he has acted like a petulant, immature child. We remember his post-game comments, or lack thereof, sulking, miserable, doesn't want to even entertain a question following a Super Bowl loss. We have seen him at the podium before sulk like a child that didn't get his way. So for him last night to say, I've got to look in the mirror, to say, I've got to do some soul searching, to say, I had opportunities and I didn't get it done, to say, I need to do a better job. I appreciate that. Even though Cam was wearing a babushka like he was my grandmother from Slovakia, even though Cam was literally wearing, when I went to church as a kid, what all the old women from Eastern Europe were wearing in that church, even though Cam looked like he'd be better served stirring up a huge thing of borscht, a huge container of borscht in the kitchen, at least he took responsibility for himself and what happened to that game. But there's no doubt, Norv Turner, the Carolina Panthers, don't trust Cam Newton. They don't trust his body. They don't trust his arm. I mean, we've seen what has happened when he's tried to throw deep the last 2 weeks. It's been terrible, absolutely terrible. He's been scattershot. He's had some of the worst pass completion percentage when going downfield 20 yards or more out of any quarterback over the last couple of years. But last night on 4th-and-1, there absolutely is no defensible reason not to just push Cam Newton's enormous frame over the offensive line and at least get the first down. There's no way. There's no way the Panthers are best suited in that spot after they have built an entire identity over Smash Mouth. There's no way you can defend splitting Cam Newton out wide when all you need is a yard. All you need is a half a yard, and you've split Cam Newton out wide? What? What is that? Let's hear this play call again. Here's from Gene Deckerhoff on Tampa Bay Buccaneers Radio.
Here's the snap to Christian. That's a double reverse. And he's still got the ball running. He's going to be knocked down at the one-yard line. And did he get the first down? I don't think so. Depends on the spot of the football. Depends on the spot of the football. It's Bucs ball. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have stopped the Carolina Panthers on 4th down and a half a yard.
The Panthers are worried about his foot. They are worried about his body. They are worried about his aging. They are worried about his arm. They are worried about his shoulder. It's got to be. Unless Norv just got way too cute and overthought it. But boy, oh boy. If you've got Cam Newton, who has had more quarterback rushes and sneaks than anybody in NFL history, essentially, at this point in his career, and you don't think you can get a yard right now because of his foot or his shoulder, well, then what are you going to do with Cam Newton? Christian McCaffrey can't be the quarterback. You know, they're trying to, what, hide Cam Newton? Look, here's the fact. You don't need Cam Newton to run for 900 yards this season. And I understand trying to get him to evolve into a passing quarterback at 30 years old. I get that. That makes total sense. But it's not like Tom Brady doesn't quarterback sneak. It's not like Drew Brees on 4th and a half a foot doesn't quarterback sneak. It's not like Aaron Rodgers isn't allowed to use his legs when needed. All of those guys know they've got to be great in the pocket, and all of those guys are. Cam Newton can be great in the pocket, but on 4th and 1 for the game, you've got to be able to run him. You've got to be able to push him at a quarterback sneak. I'm sorry, if you think that compromises his foot or his shoulder, just pushing him forward for a yard, half a yard, well, then he shouldn't be out there. I mean, that is, to me, indefensible last night. The Panthers had a chance to win, put their offensive line on the ground and say, let's get half a yard. Let's get half a yard. And let's set up another 4 downs. And they split Cam wide. Snap, shotgun, McCaffrey, fake handoff. I mean, it was a great play by Vernon Hargraves, but give me a break, Norv. My goodness. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I know you guys got thoughts on this game. We've got tons of Panthers listeners in the Carolinas. We've got Buccaneers fans as well all across Florida. I know you guys got thoughts on this game, so hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll continue dissecting this game. This is a terrible start for the Panthers, 0-2. But next, college football. Was it possible LSU and Ed Orgeron were lying about the conditions of the Texas locker room last weekend? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I'm Jay Berman, halfway home.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Let it sing, baby.
The old folks are gay. Well, the corn tops right, and the meadows in the bloom, while the birds make music all the day.
Ah, well done by Billy Giacalone and Mraz back in Mission Control. I am in Lexington, Kentucky this morning and for Sunday morning football. Down here for a wedding of the Bourbon Bell's best friend from UK. And so I'm down to the Bluegrass State, loving it. It's just absolutely gorgeous down here. I'm so excited. And there is definitely bourbon and barbecue on my menu this weekend. As always, there's so many ways you can listen to the show. Remember that wherever you are, whatever your affiliate does, you always got us in your pocket. Of course, we're across the great CBS Sports Radio network, including here in Lexington, Kentucky, for CBS Sports Radio on all of our terrestrial affiliates. Also, on satellite radio, Sirius XM Channel 206. And, ooh, that little thing in your pocket. Yeah, that phone thing? Oh, yeah, we're right there. It's an easy button press. Radio.com, the app, it's free. Boom, punch it in. The CBS Sports app, if you use for your sports news, boom, punch it right in. Left-hand toolbar, scroll down, you'll see CBS Sports Radio. Apple Music, if you use that, just look for CBS Sports Radio. You'll see our station right there. Or you can always watch us as well on your phone. It's available on any device, watchda.com. And yes, we got it going today, even on the road, as we always do. It's also time for Ask the Pros, where you get to ask a question, pick a question, any question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Mraz, I know that North Turner is supposed to bring an updated, evolved, modern look to a Carolina Panthers offense that, let's face it, has been kind of old school, smash mouth, maybe a bit stagnant over the last couple of years. And they've got a weapon in Christian McCaffrey, and everybody says, well, with the Panthers' draft picks and weapons around Cam, this will be more explosive than Cam's offense has really ever been. And yet last night, how can you defend on fourth and half a yard? How can you defend not just going old school and pushing Cam over the line of scrimmage, letting him use his huge length and extension to get the first down, and instead splitting him wide in a direct snap to McCaffrey, which gets blown up?
There's absolutely no defense, and the only possible way you could justify this is by just admitting that Cam Newton is not healthy, or you're very worried about him taking the wrong hit on that shoulder or the wrong hit on the foot that he hurt in the preseason, because there's no reason. Cam Newton is who he is. You can't suddenly transform him into being some kind of pocket passer. That's not who he is. He can unload and unleash his big arm, but he's going to make plays with his legs when he needs to in short yardage, and that's the beauty of having Cam Newton and the purpose of it. But even more so, DA, at the end of the first half, Carolina had a real opportunity to come away with 3 points, and at midfield, North Turner with 9 seconds left, instead of letting Cam scramble out, either make a play with his feet, find Curtis Samuel down the field, or something of that ilk, they decided to turn around and just hand it conservatively to Christian McCaffrey and watch basically the clock tick away, and they don't play for 3 points, even though they were in plenty good field position to make an attempt at that. North Turner's game plan was a disaster last night. It was all about conservativeness. It was all about protecting Cam Newton, and frankly, maybe they thought they could get away with with it and hope that Jameis Winston threw him a pass or two their way. That didn't happen. But that was just an unacceptable coaching display by North Turner.
But isn't it weird that you say it was overly conservative, overly protective, and then at the end of the game, even if you want to protect Cam, can't you just have a simple handoff to get half a yard? I mean, talk about overthinking things. He goes from overly conservative to, with the most important play of the game, he splits the quarterback wide, goes wildcat, and then fakes a reverse handoff to the wide receiver.
No, he way overthought it. But I think that had to do with the Carolina's interior offensive line looked bad last night too. So I don't know that it was necessarily they trusted it, or maybe if they were going to go short yardage, then it would be even more questionable why you just didn't do it with Cam Newton himself. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's an enormous weapon, but yeah, there's no reason to overthink anything here. You have two really good Pro Bowl players in Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey. Learn how to use them together and play to their strengths. Stop trying to get cute and just use them the way they're supposed to be used.
There is a real problem with the Panthers right now because they're 0-2 and they lost both of these games at home. And in that division, the New Orleans Saints are going to be really good this season. And I would imagine the Falcons look a lot better than they did in week number one. So the Panthers are 0-2 and both losses at home so far. And right now they're 0-1 of the division. The good news for the Panthers is that at the very least, they have winnable games coming up. They're in Arizona next week. They're then at the Texans, home to the Jaguars. They get the Buccaneers again. So there's winnable games here. It's not like they have some crazy gauntlet in the first 2 months of the season, but it's really bad to start off your season with two home games and to take an L in both of those games. If you want to weigh in on last night's Thursday Night Football, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. And the other thing, Mraz, this is still the effect of nobody playing in the preseason, right? It has to be, because last night's game, once again, I know it's a short week, but my goodness, how sloppy and how ugly and how disjointed was that entire game? There was no flow, no rhythm. It felt like every time you got two plays off or three plays off in a row, there was a review, there was a penalty, there was an incompletion, there was a dropped ball. I mean, last night was just such an unpolished brand of football.
I was completely bored. Completely bored. And that's most importantly, not even the stoppages and penalties, because I've gotten so used to that in football. The constant incompletions and just lack of flow to the game overall. Not one drip of excitement. And the weather delay destroyed it early. The fact that NFL Network couldn't get the cameras operating, even though, let's face it, they've been testing these stupid cameras in the preseason and regular season. They would have been using them probably anyway. You couldn't even see when it was a big play what the heck was going on from the sky cam. Everything about that game was just dreck.
College football. LSU goes to Texas last week and gets a very impressive victory. And Joe Burrow in that game threw it all over the lot. And LSU has never had an explosive offense like that. And they put up 45 points against a top 10 opponent in Texas. And that was a real thriller game. That was a fantastic game to watch, much unlike last night's Panthers and Buccaneers game. 45-38 win. And yet, there was controversy. Because after the game, LSU head coach Ed Orgeron claimed that there was no AC in the Tigers' visiting locker room at UT, and that they had to bring in blowers. We had to bring in some blowers, which I'm guessing means fans. I don't know. I don't imagine those are like space heaters, but for air conditioning. So we brought in some blowers. And he said it was fine, but that there was no AC. It was really hot in there because we brought in some blowers. Okay. It was a hot night, early September, deep in the heart of Texas. You got no AC in the locker room. And so then Texas launched an investigation. Apparently Louisiana Tech had told LSU, hey, just so you know, there's no AC in the Texas locker room when you go in there. But then Skip Holtz backs off and says, no, I didn't say anything. I'm not getting in the middle of this. So nobody wants to claim where they heard it from or who said what. So, of course, in college football, which is what makes college football great, we're going to launch an investigation into whether there is AC in the locker room. And UT athletic director Chris Del Conte said, the comment about lack of air conditioning is the first we've ever heard on any issues of that. They had an internal report And Texas found internally that there was properly working air conditioning. The Longhorns claim that LSU's locker room was 68 degrees at halftime and only rose a few degrees after the game. I can't believe this is a thing. I can't believe it. And maybe this is because I once upon a time, before they tore down the Boston Garden, took a tour of the Boston Garden. And that old ramshackle barn, they took us through the visiting locker rooms. I am telling you, even as like a 13-year-old DA, I was appalled at the visiting locker room conditions. To think that the Bad Boys Pistons, or the Showtime Lakers, or Michael's Bulls, or to think before that, Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and others came through and sat in that prison. This thing was like a prison. It looked like a dishwater closet. It looked like, honestly, where you keep a mop and bucket behind a Chinese restaurant. That was the visiting locker rooms. AC. AC. There was no AC in the Boston Garden visiting locker room. And Red Auerbach liked it that way. Yeah, you're going to come here and be miserable and cramped, and it's going to be in your head. And it was just accepted. We're not going to do anything for the visitor. We're going to try to make your life miserable. That's what home court or home field advantage is. UT shouldn't say, well, we launched an investigation and we are very proud of our visiting facilities and we found the temperature to be quite nice, in fact. No, lean into it. Yeah, this was a top 10 opponent. We don't like them. They don't like us. We try to make it uncomfortable. They're not supposed to have AC. It's kind of crazy now in sports. Well, you need to treat the opponent respectfully. They need to have an equal playing field. No. No, it doesn't all have to be sanitized. It doesn't all have to be equal. It doesn't all have to be on the up-and-up professional. I mean, look, did the Patriots take it a little too far? Yes. But do I care if LSU's locker room was too hot? No. Come on. It's football. It's Texas. They're from Louisiana. I'm sure they felt hot. I'm sure they have felt a little uncomfortable at times playing football. UT doesn't have to apologize and tell us it was 68 degrees at halftime in that locker room. It doesn't matter. Make it hot, make it uncomfortable, make it miserable. They're the visitors. That's your home field advantage. And when you go there, they can make it hot and miserable. It's only AC. You don't have to feel like you're working in an office building when you go into the locker room at halftime of a top 10 college football matchup. Man, we had some blowers. Hey, didn't matter. LSU won the game anyway. They had some blowers. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come up, hey, Mraz gives you his NFL picks. He went 2-1 last weekend, so he's going to be making you some cash. And he's got your football food of the week, which is always undefeated. It is coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
We all had to take health and gym.
Remember when you
not
said...
Not Choir, not Adele. Josh Groban, not Adele.
You said that's for Vegas knockoffs. This whole thing started because you're a Vegas knockoff lounge karaoke singer.
I am the adult contemporary Huge Freeze. Stop.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And I miss the adult contemporary Huge Freeze, don't you? Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You know what? You can watch the best of the DA show on YouTube every single day this weekend, trying to kill time. Maybe you're on the go, a little distracted of what you're doing. Well, you could just watch the best of the show on YouTube every single day. Just search the DA show or CBS Sports Radio, and you'll find us on the old YouTuber. Now, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. LSU didn't have perfectly air-conditioned locker rooms at UT last weekend, but still got the win. Steven writes, DA, Old Pitt Stadium had no visiting locker room. Visitors had to actually walk down Cardiac Hill and back up at halftime. If you've never been to the Pitt campus, trust me, Cardiac Hill is no joke. Check Pitt's record at Pitt Stadium since moving to Heinz Field. That's home field advantage. See, this is what I'm talking about. You ever see the hills in Pittsburgh? They're ridiculous. You got to take trolley cars up them on like wires. You're making the opposing team climb up the hill and back. In 2019, we need to make sure that it's a perfect 68 degrees and dry in everybody's locker room. Who cares? LSU got the win. Texas is so bothered. How dare you question our visiting facilities? Come on. Lean into it. Dixie Landan tweets, LSU has got to be used to the heat anyway. Louisiana is the second hottest state in the country. Combined with humidity, that heat didn't bother them. Also, no AC probably helped. When you work outside for an hour, get real hot, go inside a cold AC, then go back out. That's what hurts. Vic tweets, Coach O did say that 93 snaps on defense was why the Tigers were fatigued, not due to the lack of AC. I agree. I'm not blaming Coach O here. I don't think he made a really big deal out of that. He said it was kind of hot, but he said, we had some blowers. Great. They had some fans. They had those little hand fans that you press the button, and it's just like that little propeller thing. I don't think he was really making excuses, but that it got blown totally out of proportion, which is, of course, what we do in 2019. And then Texas launched its own internal investigation. Come on. Now, we have our football picking contest going on week by week. Super Dave handles the college football picks. He went 3-0 in week one, 0-3 in week number two. So it was very apropos, because that's just like Huge Freeze. Just 1 minute you think he's an angel, the next minute you realize he's going winless on his college football picks. So it was perfect. Mraz went 2-1 on his NFL picks. We still haven't decided. We'll decide next week, I think, what is on the line, because there's always something on the line between our college football pickers and NFL's and the Mraz NFL picks. But it is time right now to get into week number two of what we like to call around here the L of the NFL. Here's Mraz's up the gut picks.
Huffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
All right, so Mraz went 2-1 last week. We begin with our favorite coach around here, Matt Patricia. Oh, he's not really, but Mraz actually thinks that the Lions could end up winning the NFC North. That was his really bold pick. He thinks they will win the division, and they take on the Chargers. Now, the Chargers are 2.5-point favorites in this game. Mraz, don't tell me you're actually leaning towards the Lions after that dreadful tie last week against Arizona?
Oh, of course I am, DA. Have you paid attention to anything this week? First of all, dating back to 2015, in weeks 2 and 3, so early in the season, home underdogs are 18-6 against the spread after losing the previous week. Now, I know that's a lot to follow, and I know the Lions didn't technically lose, but it felt like a loss. So just to set a trend from where I'm going this week, I'm hopping on that trend. Look, this has been a brutal week for the Chargers. Mike Williams is now questionable. Hunter Henry is lost for a significant amount of time. Derwin James is down. It seems like the Chargers might be that team derailed a bit by the injury bug. Now they come West Coast, traveling to the East. Take on the Lions for an early start time. Lions did not play awful in that game. I think they have to learn from their mistakes. I love the Lions to win the game outright. I'm getting a home underdog, getting those points versus a team that's that banged up, traveling to play an early game. Not a question in my mind. Patricia, the pencil in the air. We're going to roll Lions, cover, and win the game outright.
What's the deal with the Chargers always losing significant players to injury, especially early in the season? This is like clockwork. You just knew somebody the Chargers was going to go down yet again.
Yeah, and it's not. It's more than one now. It's crazy. I mean, the Derwin James should have been enough. And remember, Melvin Gordon still holding out, even though Austin Eckler had played well last week. There's only so many of these you could survive, and I don't think the Chargers are going to survive. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team this year.
This next pick just feels Homer written all over
it. No, it is not.
Giants and Bills. The Bills are favored in this game, and you're taking the Giants plus the 2 points.
I am taking the Giants plus the two. Again, I'm going home underdog, lost the week before. Buffalo Bills, good team, good defense with Sean McDermott, not nearly good enough to declare themselves a 2-0 team that's suddenly going to track down the Patriots. I think what happens here, back-to-back road games in the same building for the Bills, I think the Giants are going to be a little motivated, and I think, frankly, the best player on the field is Saquon Barkley, and the Giants took a lot of criticism this week for not running the ball enough with Saquon, only allowing him to touch it 15 times. I think you're going to get a whole mouthful of Saquon. I think that's going to keep the Bills' defense on their heels, and also the Giants' offensive line now, I can't believe I'm saying this, is a strength, way better than what the Jets' offensive front was versus that Buffalo's defense. I think it'll be an ugly game. It'll be a clunky game, but I expect the Giants to win this game again outright, something like 20-16, and I'm getting points, so I'm going to take them.
Now, this could be very sweet revenge for all of your haters out there, especially Giants fans that hate when you crap on the Giants, because you have absolutely crucified Dave Gettleman since the day he was basically hired. And has Dave Gettleman, has he drafted perhaps the best running back in the NFL, at least one of them, the potential franchise-saving quarterback, and totally rehabilitated a terrible offensive line and made it a strength?
Yeah, nobody wants to admit those three things, but I will. Yeah, I think Dave Gettleman's actually might be doing a good job here. it's just taking a long time to see the benefits of that.
All right, and finally, Broncos Bears, the Vic Fangio Bowl. The Bears looked awful last week in their Thursday night loss to the Packers. The Broncos looked pretty awful last week on Monday night against the Raiders, and so it's Broncos and Bears. The Bears favored by 2.5, and again, you're taking the points and the underdog.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if and when the season ends. Frankly, if the Broncos are a better team than the Bears, I am just not a Bear believer. What I saw last Thursday night was incredibly atrocious, and I think Von Miller is going to be in the face of Mitchell Trubisky all game long here. I know it's a little bit of a short week compared to a long week when considering these two teams and where they played in week one, but in September in Denver, that is a bet you always roll with the Broncos, and now I'm getting points versus a team I'm already suspect over. I think Joe Flacco makes quite a few plays, but much like that Giant Bill game, I expect it to be ugly. I'm going to go another situation where this might be 23-20, somewhere in that range, but I fully expect a Denver win outright. So, I mean, I'm taking the points for the sake of playing against the spread here, but frankly, on Sunday, I might bet all three money line winners here between the Lions, Giants, and Broncos. I love them all at home.
Okay, there's Mraz's up the gut picks. Lions plus 2.5, Giants plus 2, Broncos plus 2.5. It is always undefeated. Football food of the week. I see buffalo, I see chicken, I see sauce. This sounds like a classic football food of the week.
Look, I gave you fruit and I gave you grilled chicken last week, right? I figured out a way to make that happen. If you think I was going to go two straight weeks, much like I don't think the Bills would win two straight games, if you think I was going two straight weeks without featuring anything buffalo related, you're lost. I'm going buffalo chicken stromboli here, all right? It's perfect. You get the chicken breast, you cut into strips, you cook it, you toss it with a little Frank's Red Hot and butter. That's the classic buffalo way. Little pizza dough, you put that over the pizza dough, you fold the pizza dough over, little glaze of olive oil across, bake it in the oven at 350 for 10 minutes or so until golden brown, cut it up, serve it with a little blue cheese, maybe even a little celery. You want to get crazy, you want to get healthy, you want to do something like that. All I know is this. You have buffalo chicken on your table. Basically, you could make buffalo chicken Oreos at this point. They'd be delicious. But buffalo chicken stromboli, you eat it with your hand. Gives you that pizza flavor. Gives you that hotness, that spiciness. It'll cool down with the blue cheese. Everything's dancing in your mouth. By the time the Saints and the Rams kick off, if you don't have the buffalo chicken obviously marinating in your belly, you've done something wrong. Buffalo chicken stromboli, have at it.
That sounds delicious. Mraz's recipes for football food of the week are available in his blog, Up the Gut, which is available at CBSSportsRadio.com. What?
We're calling it a column now. We're calling it a column.
Okay. All right.
I mean, they're referring to me as a columnist. I didn't ask for that title.
Sorry. Okay. So, Mraz's Up the Gut column, everybody.
We're being more professional in my 30s.
Available at CBSSportsRadio.com. And this is the biggest come up of them all for Mraz. there is an Instagram account dedicated to the football food of the week right now. I think it only has 3 followers, but I'm one of them. And somebody is making all of your football food of the week and displaying it on Instagram.
Not only that, I told whoever was running that account I would feature them in this week's column, and I completely forgot. So,
you know,
I am so sorry.
Honestly,
I am so sorry.
This is a super fan of the show, a D'Alien of epic proportions, dedicating his or her Saturday or Sunday to cooking your stupid recipes, devotes an entire Instagram account to it, and you can't even give them the heads up.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry, up the gut follower on Instagram.
When we come back here on the DA Show, Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. Why didn't the Panthers run Cam Newton on fourth down last night? We will ask him coming up here next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.